eminence, Kensur Rinpoche Jesun Kunjutsen, who has been a debate master, who has been a scriptural master, and who is one of the last living scholars and living treasures of the Tibetan country. Every single text that has been composed by Panchen Sonam Drakpa and by Jetsong Kaba, he has mastered. He has memorized, he has debated, and he is able to teach. So you have to realize, he is in a monastery. While he's teaching now, there's two senior abbots, His Eminence Kepje Lati Rinpoche and His Eminence Kensur Jamba Yeshe Rinpoche. And they're seniors, and they allow him because he is so qualified. And he is extremely humble, he is extremely friendly, very down to earth, and very warm. And even before he became such a high lama, before he was selected as the abbot of Ganden by His Holiness Dalai Lama, he used to walk with his students. On Mondays, he would call the students, and he would cook, have one of his other students cook food and give food to all the students. He is well known for always taking care of his students, feeding them, giving them money, giving them advice, buying them their needs. He's very well known for that. And he's very well loved by the whole monastery for his not only his erudite scholarliness, but his gentle and real concern for his students. So the monks respect him very much because he's not a dry scholar. They just talk, but they don't do. He cares very much about his students. And you never see him trying to find sponsorship for himself. You never see him trying to get money for himself. Never. He always tries to get into the monastery. So I've had the great fortune for the last four or five years to sponsor all of his medical. But he has very bad diabetes, and he has to go for intense medical and a lot of medication. So I have the incredible honor to sponsor his medicine for the last 5 years. That's why when we go to Ganden, I go buy a lot of medicines. But when someone's going back, I buy a lot of medicines. And I send money for his checkups, I send money for whatever he needs, anytime. So you can say, I can humbly say that I'm his sponsor. And when we went to Ganden, we all met him. So this initiation is called Manjushri. Manjushri Arabasana. There's several types of Manjushri. I requested Kensur Rinpoche himself to bestow the initiation on the students there. And he declined on the first day because he's very humble. On the second day, I called up Khatri Rinpoche and I talked to Khatri Rinpoche and I told him how to explain. So Khatri Rinpoche used my method to request him and he accepted on the second day. And so here you'll see him on the throne in a grand debate courtyard. He's on the throne and the grand debate courtyard with Lama Tsongkhapa as the main image and over 1,000 Manjushri statues surrounding. So therefore Kensur Rinpoche is giving Manjushri initiation in a debate courtyard, which is very auspicious because that's where you actually invoke Manjushri's power. Before debate, we do Manjushri puja every day. And then you invoke Manjushri's power and you do debate to penetrate into the teachings. So he's giving the initiation, he gives the explanation, and afterwards they do long life. Very, very beautiful. I requested, I also sponsored, and Khatri Rinpoche did the whole thing for me. Kensur Kunjutsen Rinpoche should be about 77, 78 now. This is the head umze doing chanting to Kensur Rinpoche to request him to turn the wheel. This is His Holiness Kepje Sonrinpoche, we call him Song Chokdru. Chokdru means the incarnation or the highest incarnation of Sonrinpoche. That's His Eminence, His Holiness Kepje Song Chokdru Rinpoche, receiving teachings and initiation from the great abbot. And next to Sonrinpoche on the right is the incarnation of the Lord of the East, Shaba Chuje Rinpoche. This little one here, his previous life, I received Vajrayogini initiation from him. He's the Lord of the East, Shaba Chuje. Chokdru Rinpoche. He belongs to Ganden Shaotse. He's very fair, the little white one, yes. There's our friend, Khatri Rinpoche. Of course, he's in the front with all the other ones are other young Rinpoches. That's Khatri Rinpoche in the front. That's Tenzo Osir Rinpoche next to him. Next to that, Banden Lama. Banden Rinpoche. Initiation Tarmas are behind him with an umbrella on top. I'm sorry to say, in some of our societies here, when the person becomes old, like an old man, they have nothing to show for. They have money in the bank, they have a house they're sitting in, they own, they have a car, they play golf, they go look at pretty girls, you know, they eat good food, and they wait for a grandson, and they hope that their grandchildren will grow up to take their name and make them proud. That's what old men around here do. And then they die. Old men there do this. Meditate. Teach the Dharma from their knowledge. Hold their vows purely. Give advice to people. Take care of the crops. If there's bad weather, they make rain. They counsel people, and they are a source of inspiration. Even after they have died, their body becomes a source of inspiration that we put inside a stupa for us to prostrate to. So old men in the Dharma have that kind of result. Old men not in the Dharma just wait for good food, play golf, and hope they can live longer. And then nobody looks at them, nobody respects them, and hope they can get a title somewhere. So the old men like that, and the old men not like that. Huge difference. But in order for him to become an old man, to become so beneficial, so respected and revered, when he was a young man, he held his vows, and he was kind, and he did good works for other people. So when we're young, and we do that, it creates the cause to become old. Then when he's old, he becomes like that. When he dies, his next life will be like that again, because he created the causes, and it continues. So you choose. Do you want to be an old man not like this? Drinking, having fun, looking at pretty people, hanging around, hoping you don't die, or you want to be an old man like that? And old men like that are never abused or thrown in the corner or abandoned. People put their heads to the ground wherever they walk. So you look at the old men that you know in your life, what do? They go and eat good food. They hope you can pay your bills. They wait for you to get married. That's it. That's it, nothing more. And then they die. And then when they die in very strange circumstances. They die in the toilet. They die in a fire, they die drowning, they die choking, they die from heart disorder, they die from a stroke, they die from diabetes. And the way they die is even a useless way of dying. And then we have a eulogy for them. Oh, they were a good man, they were a good husband, they were a good father. Animals are good fathers too, you know, we don't have to have eulogies. But when these old men die, everybody cries. They cry for the loss that the world receives. And after they have died, they don't stick their ashes in some old temple and just pay someone to take care of it. They are enshrined in a stupa where thousands of people go circumambulate daily and pray to their holy ashes and ask for blessings that the incarnation comes back and that we may become like them. So an old man there, he's very old. His voice is old. His body is old. His movement is old. But I see a living Buddha. Manifesting as an old man, giving us a teaching that if we get old, we can become like him. You think, oh, it's too late for us. No, it's not too late for us to become an old man that's kind, that's respected, that has higher thinking, that has good motivation. It's never too old to become an old man who has good thinking, higher thinking, and good motivation. I do not want to become an old man that's not like him. Just waiting for my grandchildren to get married. Just waiting for my kids to get married, just hoping I get another business deal, or next weekend I go play golf. Never. May that never, ever. May I be not an old man that runs around going swimming, or running to the mountains, or trying to make money, or looking at pretty people. May I never be an old man like that. May I always become an old man like this every single night. From day one to the time they die, even after they die, even their ashes benefit me. So you think about old men there, and you think about old men outside of there. Not just here, it's not particular about Malaysia, everywhere. You think about that. That's why we support the Dharma. Somebody sponsored him before. Somebody sponsored him to make sure he studied. Somebody sponsored him to do retreats. Somebody took care of him, took care of his needs. And the sponsors gained so much merit, you know why? I'm sure some of his sponsors have passed away, because he's quite old. But because of the sponsorship, look what the old man is doing. And all this initiation that he's doing, it benefits the immediate sponsors, which is us, and his sponsors in the past. Because merits have dividends. Like money has, what's that called, interest. So even the sponsors of the past created this great bond. Some sponsor him. His clothes, his food, his house, his studies, his Dharma books. Somebody sponsored him. And look what the sponsor created. An old man, that's like that. That if he comes here or we are in his presence, we immediately go through this. Even people who don't know Dharma, if they see him on the street, they see him like that, they go like this. Or they just, what is it? But when you become an old man, you just go like this. One, your life has been cheating, lying, eating, sleeping, that's it. So there's a big difference. You have to think, that's a teaching. Why highly evolved Buddhas become old and manifest old? He says right here, I will confer the initiation of Manjushri, Jatsin Jambayang. This Rinpoche, his name is Tenzin Osir, next to Kadin Rinpoche on the right, you see the very fair one? When he was little, his family offered him to me. His father came to me, offered him to me. So when I saw him, I said to his father, would it be okay if he becomes a Rinpoche? And the father says, oh, really? I said, yes. So later, I told Tenzin Rinpoche that I have a feeling he's a Rinpoche. And Tenzin Rinpoche consulted the oracle, and it came out true, and he was enthroned. His name is Tenzin Osir Rinpoche. He's enthroned as his previous life was Kensu Jambe Yishi's, one of his scriptural teachers in London. So now he's growing up doing good studies. So all young Rinpoches, that's why they sit in the front. This is the second administrative authority in the monastery, the one that's scratching his arm with the glasses. He's the umze. So he's umze, abbot, and disciplinarian. These three are the administrative powers. He can kick you out of the monastery with one word. If he says out, you're out. So they have great power. Why? They hold the discipline of the monastery. Hence, they have a table in front of them. The table represents status. His Eminence is giving a teaching on the motivation of receiving initiation and the reason of taking initiation. He's giving an extensive teaching. The teaching on the motivation takes more time than initiation, because that's how important motivation is. And some more, he's teaching monks. What more do we have to say for ourselves? Even the high incarnations have become his students. He's so incredible. I knew him before he became a high lama. I knew him before he became an abbot. He was just an issue. So kind and so friendly. So giving, very humble. He used to come and visit me and come to my room and visit me. And he would force me to sit on the throne. He would sit on the floor. He's so humble. Around people like that, there's no way you can be arrogant. Impossible. Now, he has finished his motivational talk, and he has now the umze is making mandala offerings. So the umze does the mandala, everybody else gets a little bit of rice in order to make mandala offerings to the great Kensur to request it for teachings. That's the umze chanting in a guttural voice. Have the sovereignty. Shabbat Chujit. Just now you saw the little monk with the mandala. He's a Rinpoche at Hoba Kamsa. His mother and father is from Lhasa, and they have connections to Drepung Lusli Monastery. So they made him a monk, and they took him to Drepung Monastery. So they took him to Drepung Monastery to Chunjie, to make offerings. He wasn't a monk. So later, when they came to Drepung, these couple made an old monk there, and the old monk said, why don't you leave your son to become a monk in Drepung? So this young monk, they said, okay, he became a monk, but he said, no, I don't want to stay in Drepung. Drepung is not my home. And they're like, what you talking about? So this young Rinpoche took his parents two gunmen shots in to Hlopa Khamsin, and he went to the room of his previous life. And there's a picture of his previous life there. He says, that's me. That's me. I belong here. I want to stay here. He demanded it. So the parents didn't believe him. The old monk in Jaipong didn't believe him. They asked his holiness the Dalai Lama, and Dalai Lama says, confirmed. He is a reincarnation of Gandhi Shatse. He is that picture. He is who he is. And then in teachings, the Dalai Lama has said many times, we need Rinpoches like that who show you directly who they are. So he was recognized by Dalai Lama directly because he recognized himself. Yeah. His previous life is Geshe Thubten of Hlopa Khamsin Gandhi Shatse, a very erudite scholar. He says, a Rinpoche, we should not do a lot of investigation, the Dalai Lama said. He says, we need Rinpoches like that who recognize themselves, who remember their previous lives clearly. So when they took him to Jaipong, he don't want to stay. And he took him to Gandhin. He remembered where he lived. He remembered where he was. He remembered his room. He remembered his identity. He went and pointed to it. When he pointed to it, he says, I'm staying here. Nobody believed him. They went to the highest authority, the Dalai Lama. Dalai Lama says, yes, he is who he is. No mistake. So he came back again. Now he's back in Gandhin Monastery. Now again, to engage in his studies, receiving initiation. And he says he's very good in studies. Very good monk. Very good in studies. Lojong is studies. Yaohui is very good. So he's not one of these monks who don't want to study. And he's very gentle. So he came back again. Proof. He's making mandala offerings to his guru. Before we take the actual body, speech, and mind, blessings, body, speech, and mind, your Lin Chile, wisdom and activities, blessings of Lord Manjushri, then we need to take a vow. Kunju Sung the Dark, it's your Divatan, your social shall draw, get the Jay, and Sanji Jang, Yigi Sung. When you have to take the vows, you have to take the vows of refuge. You have to take the vows. If you've taken refuge, it repairs your refuge vows. 군주수노 나아키 디바참제 소수샤. Then we have to take, we have to confess all our negative karma. Draw again the jayina. For the sake of all sentient beings, I will engage in this magic. 장주시기 Until I will achieve bodhicitta for the sake of others. So you're taking the bodhisattva vows at this time. So His Eminence Khenpo Rinpoche is reciting the vows to the students. The students recite back. When they recite back, they're very respectful. They bow down. Because to receive the vows is higher than prostrating to a Buddha. Much higher. Prostrating to Buddha is meritorious. Taking vows becomes the causes for you to go. So when they take the vows from the Lama, refuge vows, bodhisattva vows, in this case, there's no tantric vows. And they're bowed very low, and they're very respectful, and they offer akatas. Because to receive a vow is tremendous. To break a vow, you look down upon them.
Oh yeah, control to la da do jin. Diba da do so do ja. Do yin do la de no. Ta ji ta ji yin jin no. Control to la da do jin. Dao bao dao. Dao bao dao. Dao bao dao.
This is the part where the Lama invites the real Manjushri. And when he says Ahu Mahu, he visualizes and he enforces it. He brings the Manjushri's dissolve into your body. At this time, you receive the blessings of Manjushri's body. You'll have the power in the future to meditate on Manjushri and gain his body, his Buddha body. So at this time, when he's doing this, it is the Lama planting Manjushri into your mind stream, which allows you to do his practice. Very powerful. The long mantra of Manjushri's oral transmission. Namo Manjushri. Kumara Buddhaya. Bodhisattvaya. Mahasattvaya. Mahakarunakaya. Teyata. Ana. Om Anana. Bemame. Shuddhe. Shuddhaya. Vishuddhaya. Amale. Bemale. Niramaya. Jayawale. Rurutsale. Om. Pepepesoha. So that's two times. The third time he recites the long mantra of Manjushri. Then you receive the oral transmission of this mantra. When you recite this mantra, you will gain attainments. That's what we call passing the lineage to the students. Then you will gain attainments. So once you receive this in the future, when you practice, you are authorized to pass it to others.
Namo Manjushri.
Namo Manjushri.
Namo Kumara Buddhaya.
Okay, but you can't receive it through electrical means. It has to be direct. This Manjushri mantra he's giving is two, the long one and the short one. This long one is very powerful for memory. Very, very powerful. His Eminence says, from now on you should make a vow, you should think we're finishing, that until I achieve Buddhahood, I will take Manjushri as my yidam, I will practice Manjushri, and I will every single day do his mantra. And then when he says, when you have that kind of commitment, you do it, he said, Pei Yun Chenpo Shi Wudus, it will be very beneficial. His Eminence says. You could do it seven times, you can do more than that, up to you. You take a mantra vow at this time. You should never think when you're receiving Dharma, I can't do it. I don't have time to do it. Madhuba, you shouldn't think you cannot. You have to think you can. May we become an old person like him. With meaning, with great purpose. Not wasted our lives. His Eminence has concluded his initiation by having everybody take a vow of doing the mantra every single day. The vow of taking the mantras up to you. You recite the words and you put in the number yourself. So this is all the tok that we have purchased. Now they're going to do a tok to Manjushri in all the yidams and dedicate it for Khenpo Rinpoche Tenma's life, Khenpo Jambe Yeshi, Khenpo Lhakpa Rinpoche, and his holdings of Dalai's life. So we've sponsored all this. Now they're going to do tok. After tok. Now they're making offerings, His Eminence Kensho Rinpoche, to thank him from their hearts for bestowing the initiation and teachings. The disciplinary of the monastery. This is how many people we benefited, how many teachers we're creating when we sponsor the teachings and books for the monastery. Some of these young monks will be brought to be erudite teachers. This is one of the organizing monks who's giving a speech, and he's telling you why we're doing this, who sponsored it, where it came about, the costs, it informs, because everything is transparent in the monastery. Everything has to be announced. So that's a Dharma way of rejoicing. That's how they make announcements. And then when the monks hear that, and they feel happy, there are monks in the audience who are bodhisattvas, but appear as normal beings. So when a bodhisattva hears that, we collect merit. So by them announcing, we have sealed our merit that in the future, this can happen in TKL. What can happen? Teachings. People want to listen, people want to practice, and people want to gain attainments. That's the causes we create. So that's why we have to make prayers that we get many sponsors in the future while these old lamas are alive, and to sponsor these teachings. These teachings cannot happen without sponsors. It's tradition. We have the request, we have to offer the tok, we have to offer the assembly, we have to give like an angpao to everyone. We need to do that. So we need to make very strong prayers that this year, next year, next year, next year, we can do very strong sponsorship in the monastery to request this old lama to teach, convert initiation, and pass down the lineage to the young monks before it's too late. By doing that, we create future teachers. By doing that, the monastery survives. By doing that, we create the causes for our monastery here to have the same thing in the future. So we must think, may we be great sponsors of the Dharma in this life and all future lives. May we always be born as sponsors. May we always be born as people who sponsor the holy teachings to be passed down. May we sponsor the education of the Dharma. May we use our lives and use our money and resources for the education of the Dharma to grow, not toward worldly, silly, endless commitments and everything. May we always sponsor the Dharma. But it's a talk that we offer to all the Sangha. That's a young monk's chanting. So, three people come up to make offerings to the Guru. That's what's happening now. Three monks come up in ceremonial robes to make offerings to the Guru, to request them to live long. Then Kensho Rinpoche take a little bit of the top meat and top alcohol. For Amitayas, I have about 16 pieces in the monasteries. I offered one to Kensho Rinpoche today, on that day. It's considered very auspicious to offer this. Passing talk to the Sangha. This is the bread that we sponsor also. They make it at the monastery because you offer bread and tea. You always offer bread and tea for the monastery during any of the teachings. So this is one of the requirements of the sponsor. So they're passing out bread to the monks. Everybody gets tea that's sponsored by us also. The disciplinarian reading out the prayers and our aspirations for sponsoring this. So I have a prayer, an aspiration, and a dedication. It's been written for me, and he's reading it on my behalf to everybody, and asking the monks to pray for what I have dedicated for. Then at the end of that, the monks chant, oh, that's their acknowledgement. While they're having a tea and bread, they'll recite this. This is offering angpao and teachings from us to each single monk. Another way of collecting merit. So the monks will pass out the money to each monk. This is the responsibility of the sponsor of the teachings. The amount is up to you. In Tibetan tradition, when a Lama or a Rinpoche, no matter how old they are, or more so for the old, when they're coming out of the teaching hall or to the throne, you don't just send them on their own. You should have someone on the side holding their hand. So there's two ways. They can hold this way or you hold this way. The reason you hold them out is this teacher is very precious. We won't let him fall. We won't let any damage come to him. We protect him. So by tradition, the assistants will carry his robe. The assistants will carry his bowls. The assistant will carry his bag. And the Rinpoche carries nothing. And the Rinpoche leaves the hall. And his hand is held by the assistant. And the reason is our teacher is very precious. So you can see Kensei Rinpoche here is very happy. Kensei Rinpoche is very happy. He's smiling away. Why is he happy? Because he's a real teacher. He disseminated Dharma. He rejoiced. As I've said before, people can get the Petronas Towers up. Why can't we get up TTL? But getting the building up and looking nice, having shiny statues, is not the point. The point is that after it's up, we are practicing Dharma, other people are coming to practicing Dharma, and the lineage is being disseminated. So, to create the physical causes for that, one makes offerings to the Three Jewels every single day in order to create the monetary necessity to gain the sponsorship to do this. And then one also does teaching offerings, offering of teachings to others to collect the merit that the teachings may arise here. If you notice carefully, people who are very particular on offerings or people who make offerings are the ones who usually strike it well or with a good mind. I'm not talking about people who do negativity. You look at people who are very lazy to do offerings, they're not consistent in their offerings, they don't influence people to do offerings, usually they're losers. Usually they're bankrupt losers, they don't have money, they cannot get money. You just check. Offerings has a direct connection. Making offerings is very, very beneficial. So therefore, when I was in Gandil, I used to make offerings with plastic cups because I couldn't afford anything else, but I made it every single day, sometimes twice a day, sometimes three times a day. So I do that all the time. So therefore, Manjushri will be very auspicious for the monastery.